This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Bros Pod is brought to you by Bet Online. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BELEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline. Where the game starts.
Welcome, everybody, to another version of Bill Roden on Sports, also known as Bros Pod. I want it to be that we've been doing is longer, and you keep saying it's like shorter. You know, isn't this like since 2016? Didn't I do this?
Yeah, I think we started end of 2016, I believe, CBS.
Yeah, because I remember doing, you know, one thing when I was at the Times, they wanted to do a DraftKings read.
Yeah, and you were like,
I kind of sold out, bailed out because right. The Times did this big expose on DraftKings.
Right.
And I Uncle Tom'd out of it. Oh, man, I don't want to do the read. You know, and now
betting runs everything.
Yeah, it's like, we were ahead of the curve. I should have been like all over that.
All over. You'd be like, let's go. Let's put your money, you know, lose your money in Vegas, all that good stuff.
That's right. I don't care whether you got a gambling problem or not. You know, we have our picks.
That's right. Like, no 1-800 number here for you.
Right. It'll be busy because the number's been disconnected. All right. Anyway, so that was 2016. So this is 2021. So, that means it's only still been 5 years.
Yeah. And I was thinking the other day, because he posted something, but I was like, we should get Brian Delendick back on.
Oh, yeah. The wine guy.
Yeah. We have to talk wine again, reminisce to, because he was there at the beginning.
Yeah. We should get Brian. How do we get in touch?
I'm in touch with him over social media.
Oh, well, get him, man.
Yeah.
Reach out to the wine guy. Have him come on. We get an update.
Yes.
And then, and we could do, he'd come in like maybe once or twice a month and do our wine picks for the different seasons.
Yes. That always comes in handy.
Yeah. You know, we got wine coming up for Thanksgiving, you know, the best top wine. Yeah. So reach out to Brian Delendick.
I will.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That was a good segment. He actually came into the studio once, right?
Multiple times, because we used to remember those were the pre-pandemic days. So we were always in person, and
Were pre-podcast days.
Yeah, that was like the beginning of the podcast era, pretty much. And we were in CBS studios in Midtown, like 48th or something like that.
It was kind of . And I forget the woman who brought us on, her husband used to volunteer at the church. I think his name, they have a son, but they had a son named Oliver.
Okay.
Who I think, and now they're having another son. In fact, we need to reach out. We need to get her on the line.
Yes.
Said, no hard feelings. You know, you canceled us. Really called us into the office.
Oh my goodness.
You know, they let us keep the equipment for a while, right? Then they kind of call us again.
I thought
it was going to be a gift.
There are no gifts. There are no gifts.
Could you drop that equipment by? Drop your playbook. Bring your playbook by.
about a year later, too. they never forget.
I thought they forgot. But anyway, so that's just a long, drawn out way of saying that. Welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. We've been doing this for like 5 years. Actually, I guess it's 2016. So yes, it's only 5 years. It just seems like it's longer.
Right.
You know, like we are pioneers in the industry and we're still, you know, going along thanks to our loyal followers.
Yes.
You know, remember, don't forget to follow us. So you monitor this. Do we ever get any notes or notices or anything like that?
We always get notes of encouragement when they like a segment. I think, you know, people like the black quarterback rankings, you know, like the focus on that, you know, no other place focuses on black quarterbacks.
Black quarterback. Well, good. So that's good. So I'm here upstate New York on a football Thursday. Got a, you know, and Jamal, what's going on down there?
You know, Brooklyn, nice fall day. You know, pretty quiet here in Brooklyn, so that's a good thing. But you know, we got the Thursday night game coming up tonight. You got a, you know, pretty good game. Seattle and the Rams, both teams need the game.
Yeah, that'd be a great game. Our guy Russell Wilson and Matt Stafford's funny. You know how that's the NFL week to week. Like 1 week somebody's being coronated, next week they're being torn down. So Matt Stafford is being put in the Hall of Fame 1 week. Now we see why, you know, what happened in Detroit. I always think this weird of Stafford. He was there for I forget how many years. And I think they didn't win any playoff games. Maybe
I don't think so.
It's funny. And he gets none of the blame. I'm like, how can he be their quarterback, be there for X number of seasons, and don't win any playoff games, yet it's everybody else's fault? You know, there's all he needs to do is get into a great system. So he goes to L.A., and it's like they're having like an orgasm. Sean McVay, oh, my God, the genius, Sean McVay. Oh, that's all he needed.
Right.
That's all he needed was this guy. Matt Stafford, look at this. And Cooper Kupp, you know, the new NFL, new Bob Hayes, you know, the white Bob Hayes.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And then – they get a loss. Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Now it's like, oh, remember what happened in Detroit? Yeah, we remember. It was like the last 10 years. We remember.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And our friend, go ahead.
No, it's funny that you bring up the Stafford thing. You're right. Like, he didn't get any of the blame for the Detroit thing. And I don't know. It sounds a lot like white privilege. That sounds like white privilege right there.
It's kind of white privilege. Is that, you know, it's never your fault. You
right.
know? Whenever something happens, it's somebody else's fault. It's Latin America. It's the Latinx's fault. Or, of course, default, always a black folks' fault.
Right.
You know, it's never your fault, which is, you know, it's a great platform to run on. And it's what people, white politicians did. That basically, you know, this is about white privilege and it's never your fault. Just remember that. Whatever pitfalls, whatever happens bad to you is not your fault.
And how could it be? How could it be your fault? I mean, you're perfect.
You're perfect. You know, it's all these other people trying to get yours.
Right.
You know, and that's our, you know, we're running on that. We're protecting white privilege.
Right. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault that these other people are getting yours, you know, even though, you know, you haven't been educated and you haven't worked taken advantage of all the
privilege
you have. Right.
Right. You know, and to me, this whole quarterback thing, it's sort of a microcosm of the white privilege. Because, you know, for years, you know, since Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes took the league by storm, and at the end of we were doing all these stories about the rise of the black quarterback and these historic things And, you know, what we've learned from, you know, the civil rights movement, everything else, for every gain that we have, there's a force coming to take it away.
Right.
So for every, you know, when we talk about, you know, the rise of black quarterback, now we're seeing the other shoe drop. So no, not so fast.
Right.
Here we have, you know, whether it's Matt Stafford or whether it's Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yep.
Trevor Lawrence. Or whether it's, you know, they're trying to reinvent the kid in Cleveland. You know.
Baker Mayfield.
And whatever.
He was a good dancer, though, Baker Mayfield.
He's a good dancer?
Yeah, that was part of his claim to fame at Oklahoma.
You know,
the teammates loved him. You know, he knew that he could do the hip-hop dances, you know?
Right. And he's got, you know, he's got the good commercial Baker Mayfield at home.
Yeah, he's a charismatic guy.
Yeah, you know. So he's kind of part of the mix, you know, though they've stopped comparing him with Lamar Jackson. Then you hear, you know, you hear the stuff. In fact, I was listening to Rave about the kid in the San Diego. Herbert,
yep.
Who is good. Yep. And again, our issue has never been that the guys aren't good,
right.
But you can never leave it at them just being good. They've got to be God. They've got to be transformational. It just can't be good, you know, because, and that's part of sort of the whole white supremacist thing. You just can't be good. You've got to be omnipotent.
Right.
And like the greatest ever, you know,
invented the sport. You know?
Right. It's not sharing. This ain't about sharing. It's about us having it all, you know.
Well, we haven't spoken since the Monday night game, right? When New England barely lost to Tampa. Or was that Sunday? It might have been, I can't remember.
It was the Sunday night game.
Yeah, the Sunday night game. And did you hear how many times Collinsworth told us that Mac Jones had a 4.0 GPA?
Yeah, I'm like, counting. And Collinsworth, you know, I thought he'd kind of know better. You know, I did a story for the Undefeated, a column about how important language is when you talk about black quarterbacks.
Right.
And he was just gushy. I mean, just like it couldn't stop. You could not, the faucet was broken. You know, you kept talking about how wonderful this guy is and Matt Jones, how smart he is. I'm so impressed by Mac Jones. And you're right, the 4.0, and he's just got Jesus, you know. I'm like, golly, man.
And guess how many points they had? 17. You act like, you know, he put up 40 points or something. Like, you're talking about this guy is so great. He's such a great rookie quarterback. And he da-da-da. And yes, he was impressive. He's very, he's a very accurate passer, but they're all short passes. But they only put up 17 points.
Right.
And Belichick wouldn't go for it 4th-and-3. Like, if he had, you know, come on. How much confidence do you really have?
Right. You know, well, that's because, of, you know, I mean, it's just – It was just a lot, and I keep thinking about when he's calling Mahomes or Dak Prescott, the problem they've got is that they're supposed to do this, you know. And when you talk about Lamar, it's always about how fast he is, how physically gifted he is. But you know, with Herbert, it's just again another version of how advanced he is. Right. He's only been there 2 years, and my God, he's grasped the entire
offense. He's on his third read. Oh, did you see how quickly he got to his third read? It's 4th read. Like, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Unbelievable, you know.
Right.
And really, you should be saying, unbelievable, we are. He is white men.
Right. We still got it.
Right. That's right. We're still, forget all this stuff about the rise of black quarterback. We'll show you.
We've said a couple of times, the rise of black quarterbacks, and you know, it feels like we have so many now. But they're only about eight to ten. So it's not like you even half the league. It's just, you know, it was still in the beginning stages.
Right. Of the ultimate takeover.
Right.
I guess that's what, you know, we predict that this is going to look, quarterback's going to look like the defensive secondary or the defense period.
Right.
You know,
you can't say that. You got to be careful, Bill, saying stuff like that, because now they're just going to ramp up the language. You know, they get defensive. They start feeling like, oh, you know, they're not going to be a spot for us. And that's why they probably keep talking like this. You know, they got to point out the GPA and, you know, from Alabama, like he went to, you know, Harvard or something.
Fitzpatrick. Right. Right. Where's Fitz, by the way? Where's Fitz? You know, but they at least they get Heineke, you know.
Right.
It's really quite amazing, which I guess gets into our what's become our popular segment. We need to have music to introduce our what is it called? Black quarterback ratings.
Yes.
I know you keep these stats.
Yes.
If I have they switched, I wish I could find my sheet from last week, see what our ratings were last week and see if they've changed anymore.
Yeah, they've changed a little bit, you know. I'll run through it quickly. The week five Black QB power ranking, so the BQBPR.
Do you have week four?
Yeah, week four.
What was week four?
Week four was Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, Jameis Winston, Jalen Hurts. We had eight. Then we had a couple stragglers.
Lamar, Mahomes, Jameis.
Yeah, Lamar, Mahomes, Jameis, then Jalen Hurts.
Hurts. All right, that was week four. So what do we have for week five? What about quarterback rankings in week five?
So, week five, number one stays the same. You got Kyler Murray. And, all you got to do is look at what he did last week. They went two undefeated teams. We just talked about Matt Stafford. They went to L.A. to face the Rams and Stafford.
They
obliterated him. They could do nothing with Kyler Murray. He went crazy. He's a 76% completion rating. That's first in the league now. He has the best completion percentage. He's third in the league in yards.
They're still not talking about how he's on his third read.
And he must be to be that accurate. You know, they're not talking about his accuracy.
No, they talk about just how fast he is, his physical gifts.
And then think about that. He's first in the league in completion percentage, but he also has one of the highest, per yards per pass in the league. So, that's unbelievable. Then he's third in the league in yards. He has 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's fifth in passer rating at 115. He has 109 rushing yards with 3 TDs. He's dominating.
Right. So what happens? Again, I always flip it. So what happens if Baker Mayfield is turning these numbers?
God.
Or if he's Stafford. I mean, if you imagine how they're raving about them now, or heaven forbid, Matt Jones. What happens if Matt Jones had this? They'd probably just have him running as a Republican vice president candidate.
They still might do that, Bill. Don't
right. Why do I? That's a stereotype. Why do I think a white kid from Alabama is a Republican?
probably a good chance they are, Bill. Probably.
Right.
Never know, though. You never know. Maybe. He might, if
Black Lives Matter.
He might be Black Lives. He just can't. He can't say that. Even if he were, coming from Alabama, can't admit that.
Right.
But I would hope,
he's in the North now. Football around all.
He's in the North, but playing with all these black, playing this sport with all these black guys your whole life. I always.
But that didn't stop Brady from wearing the MAGA. Remember when Brady had the MAGA hat in his locker and Belichick? They had to force Belichick not to take that. Remember they were inviting him, last president, whatever his fucking name is.
Trump.
Invited him. Yeah. Remember he under pressure, he had to decline the invitation.
I do. That's the thing. Yeah. It never really works like that. It's always just surprising to me. You're around all these black dudes, you become friends with them and you still keep those Republican roots and the coaches too. I mean, you make all your money off the on the backs of these kids and you're still out there campaigning for Trump and Ted Cruz
I guess I said saying we had this plantation, we had a lot of black workers there too,
that's true, that's true. They got to know us too, they got to know the slaves too, right?
Didn't stop like OJ. So Kyler Murray is number one this week in week five.
He stays at number one. We have the same number two, Dak Prescott. He had a great game against the Panthers last week, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. They play the Giants this week. Look at this. Dak Prescott is number two in completion percentage, 75.2%. When I looked at it, do you know the top 7 in completion percentage are all black quarterbacks?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but that was interesting.
Well, now the thing will be, can we just get past color? Can we?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. What's the significance of that? Okay, who cares? Who cares? You're completing passes. Big deal.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. I always thought, you know, from what I always heard, that the black quarterback was inefficient. You know, I used to hear that all the
time.
They're
not accurate. Right. Well, I mean, the pass is kind of wobbly. They're just running all over the place.
Yeah. They just throw it up there, you know,
and let the other guys go get it.
So yeah, we got to get rid of that stereotype for good, because the top seven. I mean, give me a break. Wow, so Dak Prescott, you know, a lot of yards, 13th in yards. He has 10 TDs, two interceptions. He's fourth in passer rating. Like I said, 3-1, they're doing their thing. So he stays at 2. So the top two, Kyler Murray and Prescott, stay the same. I got Russell Wilson moving up one to number 3.
Or Teddy Bridgewater, right? Bridgewater was number 3.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know.
Now he's bitten again.
He got concussed.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. I can't say, you know, that they seem to, when I listen to the broadcast, they seem, I mean, everybody likes Bridgewater.
Yeah.
You know, they seem to like, they like Teddy, you know, Teddy Bear. They like Teddy as opposed to like Malcolm or,
they can relate. They can relate to Teddy.
Yeah, they like Ted. Teddy's a good guy.
And Teddy is a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's also careful. Teddy's very careful. He doesn't try to make sure he doesn't say the wrong thing. You know, he keeps it, he keeps it PC.
Right. Yeah. You know? We love to have him on this show.
Yeah, we'll get him. Maybe once he retires, he'll feel safe, you know.
Safely retired.
Safely retired. So, yeah, Russell Wilson jumps him. And Russell Wilson, just pure passing-wise, probably has the best numbers of any quarterback in the game. Right. He's fourth in completion percentage, 16th in yards. He's nine touchdowns, no interceptions. That's the big thing with Russell Wilson this year so far. And he's number one in passer rating, 129.9. They're 2-2. They got that big win last week at San Francisco that they needed. And like we said, they're at the Rams tonight, which is a great game.
That's a big game, big game. What about Garoppolo? I mean, we'll get into that later. But again, they're talking about all these young kids who have stepped in. Well, we have some news. So let's go down our list, and we'll talk about the kid who stepped in for Garoppolo when he got hurt, and when he suffered the unbearable injury.
Yes, and he's on the list now because he's a real, you know, he actually got some playing time. But, so number 4, Lamar Jackson, he also moves up one. He was 5 last week. He actually looked really good as far as the eye test goes, passing the ball, had some really nice deep balls last week. He threw for 316 and a touchdown in their win at Denver. They play the Colts on Monday. Lamar, still his completion percentage, he's only 28th in the league at 60.5%. Yards are solid. He's 12th in yards passing. 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But those rushing yards, 279 rushing yards and 2 TDs. So he's at 4. Remember, at 5, Patrick Mahomes. He moves up one. We talked about Mahomes struggling, so to speak, this year. But, I mean, he still has monster numbers. They're only 2-2, but he's 5th in completion percentage, 5th in yards, 14 TDs is number 1 in the league, only 4 interceptions. He's 3rd in passer rating, even, you know, 92 rushing yards and a touchdown. They have a big game versus the Bills.
At home in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's a great
game. Josh Allen. They kind of treat Josh Allen so like a black quarterback in a way.
They do. You know? They do. Except he looks like a 70s porn star, you know, that's his, you know, so they got some soul, you know, give it to him.
70s porn star.
he has that mustache. Yeah, I saw a picture of him the other day.
Oh, God.
So Teddy Bridgewater drops in at 6, so he moves down 3 spots thanks to that concussion. And, you know, he wasn't playing well up, you know, for that first half. The Baltimore was kind of stifling him a little bit. Denver's still 3-1, but that was the toughest. That was by far the toughest competition they had played. They play Pitt. They're at Pittsburgh this week, so you know they should be able to get something done playing against Roethlisberger. Number 7, Jalen Hurts, moved him up one spot ahead of Jameis because you know, even in a loss, he's 1-3, but he threw for 387 yards, 2 TDs, and no interceptions last week against Kansas City. He also has 226 rushing yards. You know, he's doing his thing on the low. Eagles not that great of a team, So I don't know how well they're going to do record-wise, but Jalen Hurts is kind of proving he belongs. Then Winston falls one spot behind him. They're 2-2 now. Winston, you know, only 64% completion percentage. That's 23rd in the league. 613 yards passing. That's 29th in the league. He has been efficient. He has 8 TDs, 2 interceptions, and he has the 8th best passer rating. So it's weird. He's doing the opposite of what he usually does. He's efficient, but not as productive, where he used to be productive and not efficient.
Seems like, your boy kind of he's kind of putting him in remedial classes.
Yeah.
You know, like he's giving plenty of tutors and not really trusting him, keeping him on a very short leash.
Right.
You know, we don't want you to do too much, Jameis. You know,
right. He might have gone too far with that. Right. It's like I feel like there's a happy medium. He should have more than 600 yards.
Right. Okay?
Because he's been there. Like he was one of the league leaders in yards passing in Tampa Bay and touchdowns. His only problem is interceptions. So he's brought the interceptions down, but he's brought everything else down.
Awesome. Everything else down too, like 2 yards per completion. So hopefully Peyton will, he's a genius. So maybe he'll find a way to unleash. Maybe we have pickets in front of the Superdome, the free Jameis.
Yes, I think we need that.
What about the kid down in Miami who stepped in for Tyrod Taylor? Who stepped? Didn't Tyrod step in for the other quarterback of color?
Brissett.
Oh, Brissett, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, Brissett. He's like an honorable mention, dude. I mean, Miami's 1-3. Brissett is a solid. I think he's a very solid backup. But he hasn't been able to lead Miami to victory. I saw he had an impressive drive a couple weeks ago to tie a game. He's solid, but I couldn't get him to crack this list.
Where is Tyrod Taylor? Oh, he was down in Houston.
He's in Houston. He would be on this list, but he played 2 games and pulled his hamstring. So when he comes back, maybe he cracks this list again. Then so that's number 8 is Jameis, and then to fill those the last 2 spots are rookies who happened to get playing time last week. You have Justin Fields, who was, who Nagy finally announced was his permanent starter. And you got to know that was pressure. Someone finally got Nagy there. Like, what are you even talking about? Like, don't you want to keep your job? Like, the only way you can even keep your job is to go with Fields. You know, you're protected both ways. If he plays well, you look good. And if he doesn't play well, You're grooming him, and you might buy yourself another year.
Right. Well, he said, again, white privilege. You know, I'm going to get another job anyway. It doesn't
matter. Right.
You know, if I fail here, I'll probably become the president of some team.
Right. You'll be GM. You'll get a promotion like Brad Stevens. Even though Brad Stevens, that's my guy.
If you keep failing, I remember a conversation at lunch at the New York Times, and. Sometimes it's so enlightening. You go out with your white colleagues and you're just amazed. There's a whole world you have no idea exists. They talk about stuff and I'm like, what? Stuff I thought was an exception happened in their life, like as a routine. And the guy was saying, well, they talk about jobs he really wants. The guy said, I haven't failed enough to get the job I really want. And I thought that was, think about that. I haven't failed enough to get the job I really want.
Wow.
So,
Wow. You remember the skit on Saturday Night Live that Eddie Murphy did?
Oh, yeah. On the bus.
He puts himself in white face. And that was always so funny to me. And I knew there was there was some truth to it.
Right.
But as I got older, I was like, he was telling 100% truth.
100% truth.
that wasn't even a joke. Like, I was like, and it's, I had to become an adult to really understand, like, wow, like, that wasn't even funny.
Remember when he got off, when the black boys got off the bus,
It became a party.
Or at the newsstand, he's gonna pay for the papers. No, it's free.
He goes and gets a loan, tries to get a loan, and they're like, oh, forget it. They kicked the person out who wasn't gonna give him the loan. That was great.
Eddie, that'll bring that back. Eddie, you're exaggerating, of course.
So I mean, back to Justin Fields. He had a great game, or a good game against Detroit, which really propelled him to the starting spot. He threw for 209 yards, no TDs, but an interception, 82.7 passer rating. But he looked good, threw some great passes, and he's mobile. He's definitely fun to watch. It'll make me tune into Bears games.
Yeah, yeah. It's all going to change come December, you know, when he gets COVID. But it's good. I'm trying to get my brother on, but he's got a performance in Germany tonight.
Oh, okay.
So he said he can't.
Good luck, Gerard. Good luck tonight.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. Good luck tonight. But he's happy about Fields.
Yes. And then last, number 10, Trey Lance, he had to come in because Garoppolo had a calf injury. So he came in, and he actually was much better than Garoppolo. Even though he had no idea he was going to play, he was kind of forcing the action. He looked shaky like the first couple drives, but then after that, he's just connecting with everybody, running around, getting yards, threw for two touchdowns. Garoppolo is still the starter, they're saying, but he's questionable this week, so we'll see. He might get Trey Lance might get another start this week.
All right. So if that was the case, you're up to 10.
Yeah, we're up to 10, believe it.
10. So that means the point, we're looking at 16. Yeah. So you'd have like half the starting quarterbacks in the league will be African-American.
I think we need, what is it, 2021? We're probably looking at 2024 to get half the quarterbacks. Maybe a little earlier, but at least,
Yeah, we have
that's
to
a lot. Six more is a lot.
Six more, it is a lot. Yeah. Particularly, we have still have a presidential election coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll run on that platform. I'm going to keep the NFL white.
Right. No, make sure nobody kneels because that would subtract a couple.
Right. Speaking of no kneeling, before we leave the NFL, your boy, Damaris Smith. Executive director of the NFL Players Association is in hot water, finally in hot water.
Wow. This came out of nowhere to me. I hadn't even really paid attention.
People don't really follow it. Well, because, Damaris has just been cruising along.
Right.
His whole thing is just not rocking the boat.
Right.
Go along to get along, collect the salary. When Colin Kaepernick, knelt, they didn't really run to his defense. The Players Association didn't really run to his defense. They say behind closed doors, but Kaepernick didn't want anything to do with him,
Right.
So they kind of left Kaepernick out to dry, and they didn't realize that, when guys get blackballed, it's a labor issue,
right.
Right. It's not a social justice issue. So
think about that though, right? Because you look at, you juxtapose that with what's going on in the NBA now. We have Michelle Roberts, who I'm sure is not anti-vax. So I'm sure she's pro-vaccine. Yeah. But anytime a player is refusing to get the vaccine, she's fighting. They're fighting hard to make sure that those players still get paid. They're still fighting for them. No matter what they do in the NFL, when Kaepernick was going through all that, even though it's a controversial topic, to some people, the NFLPA and Smith refused to truly fight for him.
Right. Yeah. Publicly or privately, and now the executive board had a 7-7 vote, whether to keep him or not, which was eye-opening. So now tomorrow, I guess, whenever this goes up, the 32 player reps are going to have a conference call tomorrow, Friday at 6:00. And Damaris will have to get at least, 22 votes.
Wow.
To keep his well-paying gig. So he's probably on the phone with them now.
Yes.
Kind of lobbying all the player reps,
Yes.
But remember, man, I got you this loan. Remember, I got you in the Harvard Business School. Or remember, I remind all the stuff he did for him.
It might work.
Yeah. Well, it's like a typical union, like a union boss. That's what whether it's AFL-CIO, that's what union bosses do.
Right.
They throw you favors and,
right.
We're not talking about a high ethical business here. high ethics business.
Right. So and obviously, like you said, you've been critical of him. A lot of people have been critical of him. I guess you feel like they need a change.
I think so. I mean, my only thing is that I think a league where 70% of players are black, they should have a black executive director. Mm-hmm. But then, I said, well, you got Damaris.
Right.
So everybody black doesn't necessarily have black sensibilities.
Right.
you know, but it would, at least that's a starting point. Richard Sherman's been critical of him, you know, and Sherman's only problem, you know, is this latest off-field bizarro thing that happened.
Right.
You know,
trying to break it. I mean, who knows even what happened there, but, you know,
break into your in-law's house. I don't know. That's totally, you know, totally out the norm. I mean, probably happens, you know.
They probably, you know, it's probably his wife was probably in there, you know. That's probably what it was.
You guys are fine, you know. But, you know, yeah, Richard Sherman's been critical of him, and apparently others have been. So that's something to keep your eye on. I mean, you know, for fans, you know, like, who are just addicted to the game, like I've become during the pandemic, you don't really care about that, you know, just
right.
You know, just who can bubble play? Will my team beat the spread? Right. But
I'll be looking for that column from you on this, Bill.
Yeah. So moving right along, you know, we'll see. Did you ever watch the HBCU road trip?
I did. I watched it a couple of days ago. It was great. I watched it on ESPN Plus. I have ESPN.
Oh, you have Plus. Oh, good.
Yeah,
for you.
I have that. Yeah, I have that. I watched it. No, it was great. It was great. It was educational.
Yeah, everybody watch ESPN Plus.
Yes.
Watch the HBCU road trip. Warning, yes. It is 42 minutes. So you give yourself
fine. That's fine.
You know, give yourself some time.
No, and if you want to know the history of, you know, HBCU football, that, you know, it's a great watch. So definitely check that out. ESPN Plus. It's what is it? Roden's road trip.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a unique way to get at it. Now I want to go. I want to get an RV.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And actually, I think that would be lots of fun now. It's kind of intimidating. It was a big thing. It's not like driving my bug.
Yeah. No, it was great. You know, Eddie George on there. You know, Deion Sanders. A lot of the presidents, the school presidents. You know, breaking down the history of each school. So it was very very good. Very educational, entertaining also.
Yeah. No, it was good. So everybody watch that. Any more? So NFL, we kind of finished it there. We got a big game tonight.
Yeah.
You know, hope Seattle wins like 55-0.
Well, their defense isn't good enough for that, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, another thing too, and this doesn't necessarily fall on D'Amore Smith, but the NFL is probably the toughest team sport, probably anywhere, just in terms of just the brutality of it, the violence of it, the inevitability of injuries. But yet they're the least protected. The players are the least protected with a no guaranteed contract. You look at, you know, guys just getting cut like on Monday, you know.
And you don't get paid. You don't get paid. Like, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, in basketball, you get cut, you're good. You know, you're going to get the rest of that salary 99% of the time.
Yeah, I think unless you're an NFL player who's like a star.
But even that's all signing bonus stuff. So you've gotten it, you know, but whatever – your technical contract, if they're like, you know, $30 million for 6 years,
you'll never get
third or fourth year. You're not seeing any more of that.
Right. We need to have an agent on, maybe look at our friends of the program and have an agent on who could explain just how raw the NFL is when it comes to players.
Right. And it'd be interesting if we had an agent who does both, you know, multiple sports, so you could, you can compare it. You know,
yeah. Billy Duffy, the agent Billy Duffy, comes to mind. I owe him a call, so I got to call first.
Yeah,
it's always amazing when you think about all the people you want to call. Oh man, he called. I didn't call back.
Right.
You know, he'd be a typical journalist. Call back
when you need something. Well, I'm sure he needed something. That's why he called you.
Yeah. Well, actually, I saw him at the NBA draft.
Okay.
The recent NBA draft.
Yes.
I was one of the Roden Fellows.
Oh, nice.
And he came over and said, oh, man, let's talk. Let's talk. Of course, he followed up. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah, follow up, Bill. Get back to him. Yeah,
I got to do that to follow up.
Speaking of the NBA, you got the big story now. It's gotten me riled up. Just as an NBA fan, and I'm in the city, you got the Nets here. the Nets are trying to win a championship. And I'm thinking about it. Really, I'm thinking about this purely basketball. I'm kind of tired of dealing with the whole vax and anti-vax and talking about, you know, I think it's pretty, it's a, you know, we know what, I think most people know what's right and what's wrong here, not, or at least what's right. And you got Kyrie, everybody else seems to be caving. Wiggins was saying he didn't want to get the vaccine. He ended up having a change of heart when he looked at the money and realized he wasn't gonna be able to play half his games and not get paid for half his games. He suddenly was like, all right, whatever, I'll take it. Right. Kyrie's playing the hard role, not taking it. The Nets had their training camp in San Diego and they had their first preseason game in LA, which didn't have these city ordinances saying that you had to be vaccinated. So he was able to go through training camp and all that. So then they came back to New York, at the end of last week, and he has not been able to practice with the team since then because he still hasn't gotten the vaccination. And previously the Nets were saying, oh, you know, we're not worried about it. We think, you know, we're pretty sure he's going to make the right decision or blah, blah, blah. You know, we're giving him time. We'll be nice. We'll coddle him. You know, I'm sure he'll make the right decision. Now the Nets are putting stuff out to the media. Like, we don't know. Like, now we're scared. Now we don't know. We thought he would come around. He hasn't come around yet. We don't know what to do. And then you got people. So under the current situation, right, he would have to miss at least – he couldn't play any home games, so he would have to at least miss half of his games. And then I hear some people saying, oh, well, he'll just be able to rest. And, you know, they don't need him. They're so good. They don't even need him for half the games. He could just play on the run.
That's his schedule anyway. He normally gets hurt like that.
what you said last week, which is true. But when have we ever heard of anything like that? I mean, he's going to play half his games? Like, are you serious? Right.
Like a paid vacation. But that's when you get Kyrie Irving, you got to take the whole baggage. Right. You know, this is like the bizarre world. When you get Kyrie, you get this, you know.
But this is the most bizarro I've ever heard. Like, this guy, he really, and you got people supporting him, like, oh, yeah, he's fine. Like, just let him play half. I mean, what? It applies to the playoffs, too. He's just going to play home playoff games. Like,
right. But so, how many games can he play on the road? He can only play. In cities,
yeah,
he can't have vaccination.
He can't play against the Knicks,
right?
At Madison Square Garden, so that's a few games. So let me ask you this: just from a basketball standpoint, right? If you're the Nets, you gotta try to get rid of him, right? I don't know who takes him.
Who are you gonna trade him to? trade him to the Lakers. Here, you take it,
right?
LeBron, you're the horse whisperer. Why don't you take Kyrie, maybe you get through. Although I forget, LeBron said, no, I saw that movie.
Yeah, he saw that movie. He saw that movie. He's probably, LeBron's probably laughing right now. KD, like, right. Oh, man, God, I told you.
But KD's playing, right?
Yeah, KD's playing. And the KD thing is interesting also because, you know, he came to Brooklyn because of Kyrie. He
fought. What about Harden?
Harden's vaccinated and ready to go. I don't know what his opinion of Kyrie is. Harden probably doesn't care. He's like, right. more basketball for me. Like, I get the ball.
Where's the party?
Yeah, exactly. I got vaccinated so I can hit the club. I don't know what y'all doing. Because did you see that also Toronto recently, or I think it came out today, this morning, Toronto, the Canadian ordinance makes it, they're saying if you are not vaccinated, and this is to the NBA, players who are not vaccinated cannot leave when they're in Toronto, can only leave the hotel for team.
Oh, yeah, for team related
stuff. And you can face prison time.
Right.
If, up to 6 months or a $750,000 fine. And Toronto is one of the nicer cities out here.
Right.
So
right. I saw where a hockey player was busted for using a fake vaccinator card. I'm sure we haven't seen more. I'm sure. I thought that was Kyrie was certainly coming up with a fake vaccination card.
Yeah, someone mentioned that to me recently. Why doesn't he just get the fake card? Right. I don't know.
You know, but I guess there's probably a way of tracing whether you got a fake car or not.
Oh, of course. Like if you want to catch somebody, you can do it.
Yeah. That's bizarre. So Kyrie Irving, you know. But it's hard to believe that we're talking about the NBA season start already. It's too early.
Hey, man, it starts the 19th. NBA season starts the 19th. I mean, there's so much talent now. It's another, no, it's exciting.
Have we got our credentials yet, Jamal?
I think for the Nets, we're good. I don't know about the Knicks. You know, the Knicks.
Well, the Knicks. That's kind of hopeless.
I got to call my guy, Lassane, and see what he can do. You know?
So Matt Wong, come back, Matt. This Matt.
Man. I hear you. Over his SI.
Yeah. You got to get Matt on the show, man. Tell him how he's doing.
Yes, that'd be fun.
I watched baseball last night.
And so you're watching baseball?
Yeah, great to Matt. Yeah, very. Yeah, listen, man, this pandemic is totally, last year and a half, man, I've totally become a fan.
From really?
Being totally agnostic. Right. And being a mercenary sports writer to like watching, consuming like everything, every distraction known to man.
Right.
You know, through baseball playoffs, 9 innings of a game, which I like never do.
Wow.
You know, watching every.
I did watch the Red Sox and the Yankees. I was surprised that the Yankees got blown out like that.
Yeah, I know, just got punished.
And then I watched, you know, most of the Dodgers game last night, room for the Dodgers, and they came through. I was nervous, you know, that it went extra innings. It's that one game that winner takes all. What do you think about that? The one you win, like for the Dodgers, won 106 games. You get a wild card, and it's one game. What's the point? Just at least give me 3 games.
Well, I get that. I do like the winner take all kind of gives you that final four, that March Madness.
You like that?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's a little more tension.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't know if I want to sit through 3 games. You know? One game when everything rides on it is enough, you know?
Okay.
You know, and I guess they don't do the thing where in extra innings, you don't put the guy automatically at second.
No, they do. They did it. They're doing that still in the
playoffs. Not for the playoffs. For the wild card, they didn't do it last night.
They didn't?
No, because I remember.
I know there was a runner on second when he hit the home run. I figured
he earned it.
Oh, okay.
He earned it.
I missed the beginning of the inning. And I see a runner. Because I was thinking that too. Are they still doing it? I was figuring if you did it for the whole regular season, you might as well. Because I know they're going to scrap it starting next year. That's the report. They're going to scrap all that nonsense next year. But I figured that if you did it for the regular season, you're going to change the rules.
I guess in the playoffs, it's just particularly in that case, it's too much. I mean, it's too much of an advantage. As hard as it is to get somebody to second base,
right?
Then you're just going to put somebody there just so you have a shorter game.
I never liked that rule anyway. You know, I mean, the game is the game. I don't, you know, I've never been one like, oh, you got to speed up the baseball. Just don't watch it. If it's not, that is the problem. But you can watch the first few innings. Like, I just keep it the way it is. That was always terrible to me. You're putting a runner at second to start. Like,
And then they shortened doubleheaders. They shortened the game for doubleheaders.
That was okay to me. Like, so when they have a scheduled doubleheader, they'd make both games 7 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was actually okay.
Like Kareem's games or something, like, you know, like two 5 inning games.
Right. I love those five. Thank God Kareem's games are 5 innings. I couldn't take
it anymore. Then they hand out trophies whether you win or lose. You know,
right.
Maybe that comes next.
They sing to the other side. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? The other team.
Oh no, they do that.
Yeah, they do that.
Oh, God.
I don't remember doing that as a kid, but they do that now.
That's a bit much. Yeah. That's a bit much.
It is.
The trophy generation. So we talked about Kyrie. Talked about, great job on the black QB rating. You know, just to reiterate, we got Kyler Murray, the great Dak Prescott.
Yep.
We got Wilson, Lamar. Mahomes at number 5. Teddy Bridgewater, come back, Teddy.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts. You know, I'm still pulling for Jameis. Jameis to number 8.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the bright lights are Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Because if those guys, that's the thing is, we talk about trying to get 16 black quarterbacks in the next 2 years. If Justin Fields, Trey Lance, And I maintain, I want to write a column about this. I think, you know, Lamar Jackson has to win the Super Bowl for us to really take this dramatic leap. Because and it's a little touchy. It's one thing for Mahomes to win the Super Bowl. I think people are still kind of open to Mahomes, and maybe it kind of gets into some interesting sociology. But, you know, but I think Lamar represents the biggest threat.
Right,
you know, to this whole house of cards.
Right.
I think if he wins the Super Bowl doing what he does, which is basically playing like street ball.
Right.
You know, just having the greatest. I remember Otha Cole at my high school. This cat was just a great athlete.
Right.
You know, great athlete. And just did anything to win. You know, he's like Jim Thorpe.
Right.
You know, he's like Jim Thorpe. And to have Jim Thorpe and then Lamar win the Super Bowl, I think, you know, the way his look and the whole thing, it just like takes on a whole nother dimension, you know?
No, I agree. What about Kyler Murray? What if he won the Super Bowl? It's not the same, but.
He's not the same. Again, I'm probably talking a slippery slope. I'm talking about a brother,
right,
brown skin.
Right.
You know, just when we think of the cats who the police are always after.
Himself. Like America's worst nightmare.
Just, you know, reach the Super Bowl, holding that Lombardi trophy, playing the way he plays.
Right.
Being who he is.
Right.
You know, and they're like, oh my God, you know. So I started to say, you know, Lamar, for this to shatter this glass ceiling, to shatter, he has to win the Super Bowl. Now, how you talk about that in a way that, because it gets into, you know, biracial parents. It gets into a lot of stuff that we as Black folks really don't talk about.
Right.
We're probably talking in code now. So.
right.
But anyway.
No, you're right. And I think that's that view is widely held. You know, I've heard others express that same type of thing. And I think people understand, you know, Black people, white people understand it, you know?
Yeah, but it's just, you don't want to offend anybody because that's what makes Black beautiful in that we come from a whole wide spectrum.
But also, and what you're saying is you want all Blackness to be accepted.
Not just
and,
the Blackness that makes you comfortable.
Right, all Blackness to be accepted and respected for what they accomplished, period. And, you know, having the opportunity, but also getting the job done.
Right.
Like you said, completely obliterating that glass ceiling, not just a little crack or, you know, a little slightly open in it or whatever.
We'll let you in, you know, because we're comfortable with you.
Right.
But, you know, so that's why I'm pulling for Lamar. And I think also if you have Justin Fields and Trey Lance, that all that kind of stuff helps.
Right.
Big time winning.
Right.
Because I still think there are people who are like, you can't, that's not quarterbacking. You can't, that's not, we want the Trevor Lawrence. You know, we want the kid in San Diego.
Right.
The Justin Herbert.
Right.
You know, somebody we could lavish praise on as if we're lavish praise on ourselves.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Well, like I mentioned before, the top seven.
Matt Jones.
Right. But the top seven quarterbacks in completion percentage, all Black. And that was something that was said that, you know, Black quarterbacks weren't known for their completion percentage or it's not something that people ever gave us credit for, even when it was there.
Right. Right. Well, you know, so, you know, we just, you know, keep on. That's the one thing I learned during the HBCU trip, the HBCU road trip, is when you get our history of HBCUs and all the people who, you know, like they didn't take no for an answer and just constantly having to climb mountains and prove themselves and just doing things that, you know, we probably didn't appreciate. Our kids probably certainly don't appreciate, you know, but that is the definition of being Black in this country, you know. Anyway.
Before we get out of here, of course, as always, thanks to the listeners for following, supporting the program. Keep listening to us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, our iHeartRadio. Like I said, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen to them, keep following us on social media at BrosPod on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
All right. Yes, sir. I won't blow this time. Bet. No, I won't take any high moral ground this time. You know, just, you know, if you have a problem, you know, get rid of it. You know?
It's all good. It's about to be legal everywhere. So we got nothing for you.
That's right. All right, everybody. Listen, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of the week. And God bless.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.